Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast. The 50-50 podcast presented by College Promoters USA. Our proud partners, College Promoters USA. They are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Located here in San Antonio, Texas, you can find them via social media on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also find them on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. My next guest is Coach Stephanie Sazzo. She is the new head women's soccer coach at El Paso Del Valle High School. Before we get to her, we just wanted to go ahead and kind of transition here on a more somber note. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. So recently, just yesterday, in fact, Coach Joey Rodriguez, who was the president of TASCO, the Texas Association of Soccer Coaches, and also the head men's soccer coach at Arlington Sam Houston High School, he unfortunately succumbed to his battle. He had an ongoing 2-month battle with COVID, and unfortunately, due to all sort of complications, the Texas high school soccer community was alerted of his passing yesterday. So we kind of wanted to start on a more somber note, take a moment to first and foremost acknowledge a good man, a great man and a great coach. Our hearts go out to his family, as well as his players and the entire community there at Arlington Sam Houston. And we did also want to highlight his GoFundMe page. As we will share in a minute, you can find that it is on the post for TASCO, and we will repost it momentarily as well. The GoFundMe page there obviously is for support services, for funeral expenses, and during this tough time for his family as they attempt to move forward. Coach Sazzo, do you have any thoughts on just this horrible news regarding Coach Rodriguez?
Yeah, you know, I actually was with family when I heard the news of his passing, unfortunately, and it made me look at things through a different lens. And I remember I only met Joey once, and we were at a tournament in, I believe it was the Dallas area, and he was mingling amongst his coaching friends, as was I, and we were kind of just going back and forth on best practices. And one of the things that stood out to me the most, the very first time that I met him, he jumped in right away when I told him I had a problem. I can't remember the problem in particular, but that I was having a problem in particular with this group of girls I was working with. And he literally got a pen and a notepad and was showing me, look, you know what, this is something you can do. This is what I do with my boys, so on and so forth. And so I think that really speaks to his character, just a giving person. And that was the one time that I met him. I know that he's made a humongous impact, and of course he was the president of TASCO, so I'm so saddened to hear about his passing, and we want to extend our deepest condolences on behalf of the Del Valle women's soccer team to his wife Lena, his kids, and all his other family, and if anybody has it in within their means to donate to that GoFundMe, please, if you can, at the end of the podcast, please, if you can find it in your heart to go and access that GoFundMe link and donate to his expenses. He left a tremendous impact on his community, and I know it's a very, very big loss, not just for his community there, but all of Texas soccer. So we stand with them in prayer, and we'll constantly keep him in our thoughts and our prayers, and we wish nothing but the best. And, you know, we hope that his family finds peace and comfort during these times.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, of note, you know, we talk about obviously Lena and his children, but also his team there at Arlington Sam Houston, as well as the entire Arlington Sam Houston community, but as well as the, you know, the TASCO family that, you know, that he worked with and oversaw as president. So our hearts go out to all of them. Again, please visit the GoFundMe page that is shown here. And you can also find it on the on the Twitter feed for the 50/50 podcast, we just went ahead and tweeted out that GoFundMe link as well. So please, again, our thoughts and prayers, keep them in your thoughts, and our sincerest condolences to everybody. And we're just going to go ahead, hold it here for a quick moment of silence before we transition over to the podcast. Okay, thank you. All right, so coming back now to my guest and coach, she is Coach Stephanie Sazo. She's unfortunately had to deal with my ugly mug for the last 2 years, at least on four occasions, as we actually coached against each other in the same district, as she was previously the assistant coach there at El Paso del Valle, and now getting the promotion to head women's soccer coach. So, Coach Sazo, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. And it was a pleasure to deal with you. Not an ugly mug. You're a joy to be around.
Yeah, I'll make sure. The check is in the mail. Thank you for saying that. So, Coach, let's get stuck in. Let's dive right in. Briefly, you know, you don't have to give us the whole layout in terms of your background, but just a little bit about kind of where you come from, where you're from, and maybe tell us a little bit of that journey where you were 2 years, you were the assistant at Del Valle. Is that correct? Is that right? 2 years?
Three. Mm-hmm. Three? I got there in, yes, 2018, 2019, and then 2019, 20. So this would be my fourth year, but three years I served as the assistant. Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that journey, a little bit of your background, but also that journey over the last 3 years as assistant to now as the head coach.
Of course. Yeah. So I actually was born and raised here in El Paso. I trained with, fun fact, the same trainer my entire life from the time I believe I was 5 or 6. My elder sisters, they worked with this trainer. And so he trained me my entire life. And he's the reason why I actually got into coaching. So he was the director of coaching of the Houston Dynamo Academy of El Paso. And so at the age of 17, he got me into getting those modules. And so I started to pursue those licenses through USSF. And then from there, it just took off. I graduated from Motwood with a couple of modules under my belt. I played, of course, for Motwood. I played for ODP. And then I, of course, graduated from Motwood. Played for 4 years at UTEP, graduated 2015, and then I began my high school coaching career. So first job actually as a head coach was in Chaparral, New Mexico. And then I was summoned by YISD to be part of the Del Valle women's soccer program under Coach Chris Lopez. So I was very, very fortunate to land that spot. Of course, as you know, Del Valle has made a name for themselves in terms of their soccer programs, both men and women. So it was such a honor and a blessing to be able to be part of that as an assistant coach. So, Coach Lopez was so gracious enough to have me on board. And so I came on board 2018-2019 school year. And then from there, I stayed on for 3 years as the assistant and fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to lead the program now.
Wow. So that's a lot in a short amount of time. So what is it, you know, when did that get announced? That was in, I think, mid-July, correct? When you took over?
Yes, I believe it was sometime in July. I'm not sure the time frame, but yes, it was in July.
Okay. So take us through the, you know, there's that announcement, you know, and then that initial meeting with the girls, with the returning girls, with the team. Take us through that now that you're the head coach. What was that like? And did you feel like you were going to have to now all of a sudden break down, kind of try to rebuild or break any notions of they saw you previously as the assistant coach and not the head coach? What was that like?
Yeah, so I was super fortunate that Coach Lopez gave me the freedom to be able to, you know, express myself as a coach. And so I was able to get involved with them, even as an assistant, you know, at the capacity of a head coach sometimes. And so I was very fortunate enough to be able to take on that responsibility on occasions and lead them in that aspect. And so the jump wasn't too big. And so they already, you know, I think respected the position that I was in. And so it was smooth sailing as soon as they announced it. I mean, I can't express the happiness and the gratitude that I have for how happy and, you know, accepting and welcoming they were. It was kind of almost for them like, oh, yes, we don't have to get to know anybody else. And we're happy that it's you. And, you know, the transition was great. It was smooth. I haven't necessarily had to break bad habits, so to speak. I think they did a phenomenal job at, you know, being cohesive and being coachable and stuff like that. And so the transition, once it was announced, was okay, coach, like, we're super happy. Like, we would not want it to be anybody else but you. However, we need to get to work. I'm like, all right.
Right. So how has that been? You know, they're ready to go, a familiar face. So there's definitely some continuity there. So take us through. So from when you started back on August 2nd, I believe, to now, with the team through the fall, kind of class, mini workouts and whatnot, preseason stuff. What has that been like?
You know what? I'll say this. I am extremely proud at the turnout and the amount of work that they have put in. I mean, when I say that they haven't had really time off, I mean it. They have just been in there dedicated, working hard. And for them, I feel as though they feel as though they should have tied up some loose ends at the end of last season. And I think this year they want to make no mistake about where they are and, you know, who they are as a program. And so they've set out to kind of make the name for themselves. And hey, we're here to work. We work hard. You know, things are not given to us. And so that's one thing that I can say is like the off-season attendance or, you know, weights and conditioning have been phenomenal. They've been in there day in, day out, working as hard as they can. And the progress has been tremendous. So I could not be any more, you know, I couldn't expect anything more at all. I mean, they've been great.
Yeah. And you hit on, you know, obviously there wasn't this gigantic shift in, you know, in philosophy or team culture really. And you're a familiar face. So a pretty smooth transition for them from what it sounds like. Right. But maybe take us through for those other, first year coaches around the state that are listening here tonight, or that will listen to this later at some point, or maybe some of these assistants that maybe they're thinking about taking that, you know, maybe they feel like they're almost ready for that push to be, you know, to be, take the reins as a head coach somewhere maybe and take over, have their program. What are you finding in just these couple of months of preseason that's different from when you were in that role as the assistant? And what are maybe some, you know, some pointers that you can give some of these possible future head coaches?
Well, I think one of the most important key components is consistency and having things scheduled and being consistent with that schedule. You know, I think when you give them a schedule to adhere to and you give them discipline in the form of, for me, for example, would be they have to wear color coordinated outfits. And it's not just because I want to control what they wear. It's I want them to be unified as a team, and just small things like that, where you're giving them a schedule, they're adhering to that schedule, be it, you know, their attire, be it their training schedule, or be it, you know, weights and conditioning. Giving them that schedule to adhere to and making sure that they are understanding that it's not just, you know, trying to be, I guess, picky. You're trying to instill certain lifelong benefits or lifelong pillars, so to speak, that they're going to use forever. And another thing for me has been, you know, getting to connect with them on a personal level. It's different as an assistant and it's different as a head coach. And I really value the relationships that I have. And I find it super beneficial, at least for me, when you have that relationship to be able to tell them when they're doing a good job, when they're, you know, needing to fix something. They take your criticism, be it good or bad, to heart, and they really want to do the best that they can for you. And so getting to be able to establish those relationships in a newfound way has really given me a lot of perspective, and I think them a lot of perspective and newfound respect. And so I feel like they're ready to work, and they're ready to work super hard, because we've spent that time since July when they announced the new position, getting to, you know, bond with each other and get to know each other. And, you know, I think they're the best that they have been in quite a while mentally.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So talk a little bit now, you know, now you're the big dog, you're the head coach, and now working with your, assistant, you know, your assistant coaches, your coaching staff. What have you found? What has been the kind of transition there for you now as the head coach and utilizing them? Because, you know, sometimes one of the biggest things with a young head coach or a first year head coach is they can still kind of be, in terms of, I don't know, I guess work ethic or philosophy, they can still kind of be in an assistant coach mode role in terms of all the tasks, right? So what have you found with your assistant coaches? What have you been discovering as far as building the relationships there with them, and, you know, things that maybe you can now relinquish that maybe you used to be in charge of? What has that dynamic been like?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, I have the best staff in the city. I have Michelle Enriquez Garcia as my VA, and then I have a new JV coach, Ms. Laura Galindo. And the three of us, I mean, I don't think there's any trio more passionate about soccer. That's all we talk about. I mean, it's been amazing. So they're fantastic. But in terms of relinquishing responsibility, you know, I want to be able to give them, you know, certain responsibilities, like, you know, helping me come up with lineups or helping me plan a session and giving them input so that I'm learning from them as they are learning from me. And I think they both do such a fantastic job. Both of them are extremely proactive, constantly shooting out, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? These are some ideas. And so it's kind of just a flow. Like we flow off of each other, and the ideas are just like a wave, in and out, in and out. And so I love the fact that they are so open and receptive to my ideas, and at the same time that they are willing to give them to me. And so I have no doubts that when it comes to me giving them some administrative responsibility, that they're going to handle it. As a matter of fact, my varsity assistant, she's like, here, I got you some binders. That way we can organize our trips, so on and so forth. And the other one's like, coach, we need to do this, 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 and that. And so they're amazing. They keep me on my toes, not the other way around, for sure. So, yeah. Yeah, I have
that's a sign of good assistance right there.
Yeah, right? They're amazing. Yeah. Honestly, there they're super blessed.
Awesome. So, you know, you hit on it earlier, not putting words in your mouth, but kind of some things, you know, some unfinished business, so to speak, right? Or in terms of how your girls feel, right? So last year, you know, District 2-5A, you finish as district co-champs. Talk to us a little bit in terms of just the general competitive nature of the district, some of the other teams in the district. Obviously, firsthand, I personally know a good bit of that particular district. It's a very extremely tough district, and you know, and you have to come prepared to play every Tuesday or Friday, because if not, you know, someone's, you know, you're either going to get upset, or if not, or you're definitely capable of upsetting someone, right? Each and every single team. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, on the district, and then also where your team is trying to go after last year's district co-championship season.
Yeah, that's, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, our district is not an easy district by any means. You have some super spectacular programs. I mean, you look at programs like El Dorado, they're constantly putting out quality teams every single year. You look at programs like Bel Air as well, quality teams every year. You have schools like Parkland and Isleta who have just come out of the woodworks, right? Thanks to you and thanks to Coach thanks to Coach Ward. I mean, yeah. Just phenomenal. Yeah. And
Rhonda's been doing some great work out at the park for sure.
She really has. And I mean, you said it perfectly. I couldn't put it any better. You don't show up that day, and it doesn't matter if you're playing this team or that team. You don't show up to play, and you're going to be upset at halftime or even at the end of the game. And so, you know, it keeps us on our toes, and we understand and we know that we're competing in a very strong district. And for us, that's just kind of kept us in focus and kind of with blinders, so to speak, on our eyes and focusing on the prize. They felt like they had unfinished business just for the simple fact that they had that, you know, district championship secured should, you know, had they won against that last game with El Dorado. And, you know, just like you said, we didn't come to play our best. And unfortunately, they just came out the better team that night. And we ended up sharing that co-district champ with Bel Air. So two quality teams. You got Bel Air sneaking up in that secondary co-district champ spot. And then you have that El Dorado team kind of taking it to us that last game and making us share that spot. And so my girls understand, and they felt that impact, and they understand that, you know, that was self-inflicted, and it had nothing to do with the inability to play together or the skill level. It was just a matter of not showing up that day and the work ethic. And I think they've taken that and they've grown and they've watched film and whatnot. And so they know what they have to do, and they understand that every game that they're playing has to be 110% or nothing. You can't come to a soccer game in our district with 50% effort and expect a result. And so I think that's just been their main focus.
Right. A quick comment here from a gentleman I think you might know, Jera Alvarez. He's stating, very few can manage a locker room as good as you. So some kudos there from Jera, our good friend Jera. You know, you hit on a lot of good stuff. Great point there. And also, you know, so as we look to this year, how many do you have? How many lettermen, if you will, return this year, Coach? And maybe tell us about a few, maybe, you know, one or two players that you can highlight from last year's squad that you anticipate to have an even bigger season this year.
Right. So we graduated, I believe, 5 last year. We graduated 5, and so the vast majority of our team is coming back, which I'm super, super excited about. And so our youth is looking very, very promising. Our youth freshman class coming up, or that's here already, and even the 8th graders coming up are looking super, super promising. And just to kind of touch base on a couple of players, last year, I know that she's a sophomore this year. Well, 2 of them are sophomores this year. But we have Natalia Garcia, mm-hmm. who is playing in the center mid. Fantastic, fantastic center mid. We have Mia Serrano, who is a striker. She played as our number 9. Fantastic finishing abilities. We have Adeline Morales, our goalkeeper, senior goalkeeper. So we're fortunate to have her another year. Just awesome, awesome work ethic. This year, we'll actually be getting back one of our defenders, Kiana Melendez. So she unfortunately tore her ACL and was out last year. For the last year and a half, as a matter of fact, she tore her ACL about a year and a half ago. So we're very fortunate to get her back so we can have her center back, outside back, that kind of position. And so it's looking super, super, looking super good. I'm super excited, especially our youth coming up. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and the skill level coming up is only going to enhance the team going forward. And what I really like about this squad in particular is that even the younger ones, the freshmen, they're gelling with the upperclassmen, seniors, juniors. They're saying, hey, you know, this is what we need. They are vocal. And, you know, those are the things that you kind of struggle with when they're freshmen. They're a little bit more timid, a little bit more shy. And so I'm really loving the fact that we have some youth coming in that's really going to add to our ammunition there.
Got it. You know, you mentioned a little bit briefly earlier in terms of kind of the, the tradition, the history in terms of the Del Valle, really on both sides of the house, obviously on the, you know, the men's soccer side with, you know, Coach Reichman and multiple state titles, and just the consistency on the women's soccer side as well, as far as, you know, multiple district titles, kind of making deep, decent runs, good runs into the state playoffs. Do you feel, how do you feel about that kind of that tradition, that lineage, that history? Do you feel a sense of pressure there now that you're in the big seat? How do you feel about that?
Oh, no pressure. No. I mean, if anything, it makes me rise up to the occasion. I've always been somebody who looks forward to being put under pressure, because I feel like that's where I perform my best. And I feel like that's where I give my all to the kids. And so I've been really immersing myself with any kind of professional development, any kind of tool that I can provide, you know, for this upcoming season, and just really getting ready for, you know, November to come. I can't wait for it to come. But, you know, of course, it's kind of hard to live up to a legend, Coach Reichman, right? But you know what? He is the most supportive and fantastic human being I've ever met in my life. If I need a drill for this, this or that, he's the first one to sit there and tell me, well, these are the things you can do. And so I think being here in the position that I am and being fortunate enough to, you know, coach alongside Coach Reichman, because I'm very heavily involved in the boys program as well, it just gives me a greater sense of pride, happy to, you know, to be where I am, happy to be part of a program that's well known and just makes me want to be better and give them more than what I have to offer and just constantly be seeking more knowledge. And so, I don't know, I just love where I'm at. I'm super pumped, super excited, and I'm ready to gain some more knowledge. So if you got anything, throw it at me. I'm ready. I'm an open book.
Absolutely. I will. Be careful now. Careful what you ask for. So you mentioned the, you know, from the men's soccer side, Coach Reichman, and just in terms of just the history there, what are your thoughts? What can you share? I always like to ask this of whenever I get a guest here, particularly from El Paso, because it's generally so far west and generally more, or geographically more isolated from everyone else. I always like to ask this question of the coaches I speak with, but what are your thoughts? What can you share in terms of when you look across the landscape as far as El Paso high school soccer? What can you share? What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like we have so much to offer. You're right in the sense, geographically, we are way out there, right? And I think sometimes to our detriment, where you see some of those areas like Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, all of those areas have more opportunity. When we're talking about soccer in particular, we're looking at those higher quality teams, and those one-on-one training sessions that might not be as readily available. Luckily, we have amazing, amazing coaches here in the soccer community, and people share their information, and people, you know, word of mouth is real big in the soccer community. And so people are able to find good club teams, good personal trainers and stuff like that. But when you look at it as a whole, I think El Paso Soccer has a lot of development still left, and I'm always looking for and willing and ready and able to compare notes, so to speak, with the person, the coach next to me, because I feel like El Paso has a lot to offer. I mean, just look, we have Bel Air, who just won the state championship within the last 2 years, 2020, right? Was it 2020?
I think it was 2019, because of COVID, because of the year of COVID. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So 2019, and then we have Del Valle 2008, 2011. That's three state soccer championships. I mean, we're not talking about we're just kind of winning by luck here. It's a consistent thing that we have male and female gems in terms of soccer. But I feel as though, you know, we as coaches need to continue to seek higher education, higher licenses and whatnot, so that we can offer our community more, you know, in the sense of personal training or academies. One thing that I do wish that we had are, like, for example, what's the Sting and what is it? The
got the original Sting based out of Dallas, and then they're now in Austin. They're pretty big in Austin now, and now here in San Antonio as well.
Yeah, so you have those academies and all those kind of things. And so one day I hope to get there, and I hope to meet a bunch of coaches who are willing to try and tackle that and get that out here way out west. But, you know, we consistently produce phenomenal players on both the men and women side. And so I think we just got to dive in deep and really invest into the kids and, you know, really try and push for El Paso and El Paso soccer, El Paso youth soccer in particular, and do our part and try and get those licenses.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing, I had this conversation a while back with, I can't remember who I had it with, but it was on the podcast, and it was kind of sharing the fact that looking at El Paso and looking at San Antonio, they're almost identical from the standpoint of producing multiple state titleists on the men's side, but can't quite, and have very talented teams on the women's side, but just haven't had that one in a long time that can break through. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also the next challenge, both there in El Paso and even here in San Antonio. So a quick comment, I think, from Jaden Torres here, talking about your upperclassmen, saying they are great team workers and super helpful and great supporters. And that's coming from, sounds like it's coming from, I guess, one of your freshmen, right?
Yeah, brand new Jade.
Yeah. There you go. Great. There you go. There's some positive feedback right there. So, all right, coach, so as we start to transition here, we get ready for our next segment. What can we, let's end on a note, ask you a very broad question, kind of put you on the spot, a bit of a loaded question here maybe, but what can we expect from Del Valle Women's Soccer in year one? Your year one.
Oh man. Whew. I think for sure, work ethic that can't be matched. Really, really focusing and honing in on that work ethic. And I think an increase in soccer IQ, that is something for me that I am really trying to increase, is to increase their soccer IQ and getting them to understand the vocabulary and the facets of soccer, technically and tactically, and really enhance their soccer IQ so that they understand not only what they need to do, but why they need to be doing it. And so I expect a very soccer savvy team. I expect a team that's going to go out there and work hard and has a lot of grit. And I definitely expect a lot of camaraderie.
All right. That's good. That's great. That's always easier said than done, right? But that's why they pay us the big bucks, right? So.
Well, I don't know about that.
All right. Well, all right, coach. Well, we understand you're going to stick with us. All right. For our next segment. All right. We're going to bring you back for our counter-tag segment where we get to pick on you a little bit, have some fun with you. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back we'll continue with Coach Sazo. All right, and welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by College Promoters USA, our proud partners, College Promoters USA. You can find them for those locally here in San Antonio. You can find them locally here located in the Ventura Park Plaza, I believe. That is, for those of you familiar with the area, that is between Blanco 1604 and Stone Oak 1604 in the Ventura Park Plaza Shopping Center. You can find them on social media at SATX Recruiting. That's on Twitter, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also find them on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. All right, so we're back with Coach Sazo, Coach Stephanie Sazo, the head women's soccer coach at El Paso Del Valle High School. All right, here's the big the moment we've all been waiting for, Coach.
The big moment.
All right, our counterattack segment. So we're going to ask you about 10 questions or so. And we just have some fun with you, just kind of rapid fire, kind of off top of your head, no right or wrong answer, and just give us plenty of material to make fun of you. How does that sound? Just kidding. Just kidding. All right.
Something seems a little devious behind that laugh.
I promise. All right. So first one, any training day or game day superstitions or rituals as a coach, not as a player, as a coach?
Well, as a player, it was definitely music. I had to have either Beats, headphones, or they had to be playing the right kind of music. I think mentally, I just have to get in the right mind frame. And as a matter of fact, that carried over into coaching. So I'll listen to music towards the end of the day, starting to get focused when I'm trying to just kind of finalize my lineup and stuff. I'll put my AirPods in and kind of just zone in and make sure that I'm making the right choices and putting people where they need to be and that we're, you know, strategizing appropriately. And then, of course, as you can see, I'm a coffee drinker, so I have to have coffee before every game. Doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees, doesn't matter if it's 10. I gotta have coffee. I'm the caldo in the summer type gal. Like, gotta have my coffee.
Oh, no. No, no, not me. Not me. All right. Okay. So now you're going to have to evaluate some of these too to see if, hey, do you change it in any way or do you add something to it? You know, now that you're.
Oh, no, I have. Let me tell you one thing. Okay. Now that we're back on superstition, because I know my assistant's going to tell me, why didn't you say it? I never, my hair is never straight. Like maybe two or three times a year, I'll straighten it, right? So I remember the game that we lost against El Dorado to have to share that district championship. I straightened my hair and I swore to myself I would never straighten my hair at a soccer game again. Never. So that is hands down, like I will not do it.
Hey, I really don't know what to tell you, because if you're looking for any kind of hair sympathy from me, I'm sorry. You ain't getting it. Not here. Sorry. All right. Okay. That's interesting. That's an interesting one.
So, I was super upset. You could see me in the pictures like this.
All right. Okay. Next one. Are you an emojis person? Yes or no?
Big time. Yes. Big time?
All right. Mm-hmm. Most used emoji. If you pick one, the one that you easily, hands down, use the most, which one is it?
I think the crying laughing emoji. The crying emoji, okay. Hands down, for sure.
Good. All right. Okay. You kind of referenced this a little bit briefly, but last book you read or book you're currently reading?
Last book I read, it was actually, what is it called? It was a true crime murder novel, and I can't remember the, I think it was Jawbreaker. I can't remember the author, but it was actually, it was a like murder novel.
Okay. That went in a different direction. Okay. Hey, no problem. Hey, you're honest. Hey.
I mean, I've been reading textbooks for work. That's what I'm reading. I'm reading soccer stuff.
Yeah.
Murder novels.
Okay. All right. Next one, your favorite movie quote. Like if there's kind of a quote that is you, that you love the most out of all these movies that you like, maybe what is your favorite movie quote?
Holy moly. See, my family is a big movie quoting type of family. But if I had to say, that's a hard one. It's hard to narrow it down. Gosh, I don't know that I could.
There isn't one that you've kind of found yourself using the most, like your go-to throughout the years, maybe?
Not that's appropriate for a podcast.
Okay. Right. Think about that one. We'll come back to it. All right. We'll come back to that one. All right. Oh, what is going on here? It's like murder novels.
I know. What is going on here? I know.
This one went off. This one, we may not make it through all of Counterattack for the first time. It's about to go off the rails here. All right. Next one. So you are tomorrow, right? You are made the czar of all of soccer in America. Okay. You're in charge of everything. You call the shots. Anything you say goes. What's one thing you'd change in soccer in this country tomorrow?
I think honestly, and this is just speaking from the heart, I think honestly, working together more cohesively with colleagues, because at the end of the day, the only people who benefit are the kids. And that's what we're in this for, right, is the kids. And so I've met some phenomenal coaches that just, you ask them for anything and they'll go to the ends of the world. They'll give you their entire life, their last penny in their bag to help you. And then there's, you know, sometimes where we compete with, let's say, high school and club soccer or the DECs and stuff like that. And so I wish that we could work more cohesively for the better of the kids, and you know, realize that nobody stands to gain except the kids. I think that's one thing I change. I'm very passionate about the fact that, you know, we all need to work as one big happy family, I guess you can say, and think about the kids more than anything else. And so if I had to change one thing, it would be, you know, take championships and stuff aside. The kids are learning some super valuable lessons that they're going to take on and use. We're not going to be soccer players forever, you know. And so I think that what they learn and the lessons and the life lessons that they get from playing soccer and using soccer as a vessel to teach them those important pillars of life, by working together is super imperative for me. And so, yeah, if I had to change that, it would be that everybody would work together more cohesively.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. Well said. So, all right, next one. I'm kind of after the book and then the favorite movie quote comment. I'm afraid to ask this one, but let's see where this one goes. Who would play you in a movie? They're making a movie of Stephanie Sazo. Who would play you and why?
I would have to say, somebody like, honestly, like somebody like Ronda Rousey that just has it straight face, just kind of like, okay, and just kind of just about business and like, okay, get out, get in, get out. I think if somebody had to play me, it'd be Ronda Rousey, because she's just like, there's no games about her. She's kind of just like, yes, yes, no, no.
There you go. Hey, that's a good one. That's actually a
good one. My kids know. My kids know. Yeah, they're probably watching like, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. I did forget she started to kind of go towards the acting route. Yeah, because I keep thinking her now of is she still in wrestling? I don't even know.
She actually retired from UFC. So she has like a ranch now. She just had a baby. And she's married to that other UFC wrestler, Travis Brown. So they have this huge ranch or whatever, but I mean.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did not know that. She still dabbles in the UFC or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. All right. So bucket list destination, a place you haven't been yet that you need to go visit and see before that's all she wrote.
I have always said that I will take my mother to Italy one day. Like, that's my bucket list, is to go to Italy and take my mother there to Italy and just eat all the pasta you can imagine. Garlic bread, pasta, all of it. Go see some soccer games. Like,
absolutely.
I always wanted to go to Italy my entire life. Always. So that's top notch.
Well, we'll have to remind me. We'll have to talk offline at some point. I can give you a lot of pointers, because as someone that lived there for 2.5 years, it was phenomenal. You know, I was stationed there, got to see the country, travel across it, big parts of Europe. And yeah, Italy is,
it's amazing.
You'll never quite look at Italian food in this country the same.
That's why I want to take my mom there. I'm telling you, my entire family is a huge pasta family. Like it's Mexican pasta. Like, we are huge on Mexican and pasta. But like pasta in particular, that's my go-to. I'm a foodie, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Awesome. I like Italy. I like Italy for sure. So at some point we're going back. That's what I tell my wife. So. What's that?
Take me with you.
All right. Done. All right. So it's kind of hard to say in terms of where we are with the pandemic now, but obviously it dates back to February, March of 2020. During that time, just like everyone else, especially in the beginning when we were all basically locked down, what's been a favorite, either, you know, Netflix series, Prime Video, what have you, the favorite show that you've been able to binge watch, like the absolute favorite?
The Office. And I'm telling you, my favorite quote comes from The Office, but it's not appropriate for a podcast.
You'll have to share. We'll share.
We'll share offline. All right. But hands down, I can watch The Office all day, every day, on repeat for the rest of my life.
All right. We'll share offline, and maybe the podcast can share share via GIF or GIF, whatever we call those. So, all right.
Yeah, I think it's GIF.
All right. So is it? I've heard. I don't know anymore.
That's what I say. GIF is wrong. It's not a J.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but every time I say GIF, I get corrected, so I don't know. I've given up. So that's why I say both, GIF. All right. Next one. Morning or night person?
Night person. I'm not a morning person at all.
No. All right. Okay. So how much coffee does it take in the morning?
I'm not playing around when I say that I have I think it's a 32 ounce Yeti to the brim. Start drinking it around 6:30, 6:45. And yeah, I'm starting to like come around and start to smile and be happy by around 10:30. Before 10:30, try not to come around.
So from 6:30 to about 10:25, it's like pure Ronda Rousey face the whole time.
Yeah, the Ronda Rousey troll face. Just please let me get halfway on this 32 ounce Yeti.
All right. So last one. All right, last question here, Coach. You're doing great, by the way. Once it's completely for sure, kind of all said and done, we've returned to, I guess, our normal as we've known it before. And, you know, everybody's coming over, the entire family, all your friends, the team, your coaches, maybe family from out of town. They're all coming over for a big Sunday dinner, and you're the chef. What are you cooking?
Maybe chicken Alfredo. Chicken marsala pasta. My mom makes the best chicken marsala pasta, but I'll just make her pass me the recipe. So chicken Alfredo, garlic bread, maybe some baked ziti, some lasagna, maybe sprinkle in a little bit of mac and cheese or something in there. Oh, man.
You are getting me. And now I'm getting hungry. Wow, that's great. I know. That's awesome. That's good. Baked ziti, huh? Some baked ziti. That's definitely the first time that's been dropped on this podcast.
Baked ziti? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You got to come up to El Paso and come to one of our parties, our family parties, because baked ziti is a staple.
I'll be there. It won't be too long before I'm back over there visiting for sure. So
yeah,
got to say I miss, obviously I have a ton of family there. I just came from there. Have a lot of good friends, a lot of great people. And I definitely miss a lot of the great people there in El Paso and such as yourself. And, you know, you talk about the colleagues, going back to if you were the soccer czar for a day. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of reminding ourselves as coaches, as the ones who are supposed to be the adults and the leaders, that it's about the kids, right? That it really is about them. So I think sometimes when so many people are so passionate about this, is that I think sometimes good people can get lost in that process, right? So,
yeah.
But I really love that comment. I really thought that was great.
Yeah, that's very well said. It kind of, you know, I don't want to gatekeep anything. Like, nobody's trying to reinvent the wheel here, right? We're all in it for the same goal, and that's to develop players and give them a better opportunity, be it, you know, those lifelong pillars that we talked about, those the responsibility, work ethic, punctuality, those things, or be it a free college education, right? But the end game is for them to be a good human being, a good person with good morals, and that knows how to work hard and is okay looking at themselves in the mirror because they know everything they have is what they worked for. I couldn't agree with you more on that. I really hope and wish to see, and I'm always an open book, you know, if anyone wants to collaborate or whatever, but you hit the nail right on the head when you said that we're the adults and, you know, we're in it for the kids.
Yeah. You know, and for our listeners, I couldn't, you know, something that I want to highlight is, you know, Coach Sazo she's genuine in everything that she's saying, because I've experienced it myself with her. She's very much similar to we're very much, you know, collaborators and bounce things off of each other. Even though we, you know, or were coaching at rival schools, we still understood the bigger picture, or I like to think we did. And, you know, just very much an open book, very much, hey, you know, we suited up, we play against each other twice a year in district play, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't necessarily make us enemies. We're there to compete, you know, we're there to, you know, give each other the, you know, the best, have our teams give, you know, compete against each other to the best of their ability. But at the end of the day, we're part of that bigger fraternity, that coaching fraternity that's supposed to be trying to grow this game and push this game forward. So, well said. So, Coach, this has been absolutely great. You know, I know this has been long in the making. We had talked about this for a while. I appreciate you being patient as we were trying to move into our house and, here, you know, making the move, moving into our home, which was kind of, we took a detour in the process. And also, you know, the studio is far from complete, but it's a work in progress. But we've been, you know, we're very blessed to be able to have a coach of your caliber, more importantly, a person, a high quality character person of your caliber. So I can't thank you enough, coach, for your time. I wish you the absolute best of luck along with your girls, your program this season. And only thing I got left really is do you have any final thoughts, any final words that you want to share?
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to, you know, thank you so much for allowing me on your podcast. I think this podcast is super awesome and it offers nothing but, you know, great things for the San Antonio and El Paso area. And I really love the series that you've been doing, highlighting those new coaches, which, you know, by the way, we've really gotten some good coaches this year. So super, super awesome. Love seeing what you guys are doing in, you know, the San Antonio area. So super blessed to, you know, be on your podcast today. Thank you so much. And for allowing, you know, me to highlight some of my players and more importantly, my program, because at the end of the day, you know what, I wouldn't be here without my players. And, you know, thank you for everything that you've done for El Paso soccer and what you continue to do. Of course, you're all the way in San Antonio, yet here you are doing a podcast and constantly, you know, woohooing our El Paso kids and San Antonio kids. So I really do truly appreciate everything you've done. Thank you for allowing me on your show and to highlight my program and my kiddos. And, you know, if you ever need anything, I'm an open book. And that goes for, you know, anybody else that is potentially listening in. If you are a coach at any level, be it U4, U5, or, you know, any high school coach or anything like that, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm an open book. I'd love to collaborate with you, work on, you know, any kind of anything that you need for the betterment of the kids. So let me know if you need anything.
Right. Perfectly said, coach. That's well said. And we appreciate that. Reminder, everybody, she does mean it, but also keep in mind, she's not an open book till after 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, and that window, the troll window.
2 ounces of coffee, right? So
6:30 to 10:30 a.m. is a no-go.
Thank you again, coach. This has been awesome. Again, as a reminder, to bring it back to the beginning, you know, we hit on the very sad news, very tragic news regarding the TASCO, Texas Association of Soccer Coaches president, Joey Rodriguez, who's also the head men's soccer coach at Arlington Sam Houston. He unfortunately passed yesterday due to complications from COVID. So his entire family, friends, his program, the Arlington Sam Houston community, all in our thoughts and prayers, as well as his, the TASCO soccer family, all in our thoughts and prayers. Please go you can go to either the TASCO Twitter feed or even the 50/50 podcast. We tweeted that recently, the GoFundMe page. Please consider any donation during this time, special time of grieving and mourning. You're willing to donate, anything you can give would be greatly appreciated. So again, our sincerest condolences, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody and regarding Coach Joey Rodriguez. Rest in peace, Coach. Again, Coach Sazo, thank you for everything. Really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun having you on here. And to our listeners, you know the routine. Keep downloading and keep listening.